The Disappointing Friend podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We pay respect to elders past and present. We're grateful to share in the act of oral storytelling and community care that has existed within these cultures on these lands for thousands of years. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
I am excited for this topic. We tried to do it last week, but we had a bit of
a technical difficulty.
So I don't know. I'm not sure if the story is going to come out as motivated as it was last week because I was hyped. Now that I've had a bit of time to think about it, I'm like, oh, maybe it's good that we didn't. The universe is saying, no, girl, you were too aggressive. You were too passionate. So, like, this week it might come a little bit softer, a little more understanding, a little bit more the way it's intended to in the world. Anyway, so the story is, last week I was walking Arlo to school, my beautiful son, as you know, I'm already obsessed with him, and he was like, hey, Mom. You know, we normally have like really nice DM conversations with him.
Yeah.
I know he's six, but you know.
He's a DM-er. He's a DM-er. He asks a lot of questions. Yeah.
So he goes to me, and he often does this. He's just like, Mum, how's blah blah? We haven't seen her in ages. And for some reason, I don't know if it was because I had no iron or I just couldn't be bothered, I just looked at him in the face and I said, it's because she's a trainer.
Ooh.
But some, I mean, he's six, and he just looked at me and he's like, what's a drainer? Does she live in the sink?
Like, oh my God, so cute. A child's mind.
Yes. Oh, wow. Like, it perked me back up to like mother responsibilities and what I'm like putting on to my child. I go, oh, no, honey. A drainer is someone that takes all of your energy away when you hang out with them. You get so, so drained that you want to go to bed for 300 years or you want to order KFC and pay the $7.99 delivery fee, which is like no one is doing that. Like the delivery fee is what I look for. If I'm paying $7.99 and also the KFC is around the corner from my house, I will not do it. But when I hang out with a professional drainer, I will definitely do it. And he was like, wow. I'm like, they just take your energy away. You're sitting there and you do not feel motivated. You don't feel happy. You don't feel anything. You just feel tired after spending time with them. And he was like, wow, I really like her. I don't think she's a drainer. I go, well, you don't really know her, do you? Really sharp. And then again, I was like, oh my God, what am I teaching my child?
Yeah.
So then I had to counterbalance it with, listen, honey, there are some people that are drainers that just take the energy out of you. But maybe before they weren't a drainer and they were a motivator. I go, he's like, what's a motivator? And I go, a motivator is someone that when you hang out with them, they literally make you happy and give you extra energy. I go, you know, they make you want to do taekwondo. They make you want to run a marathon. They're like professional cheerleaders. And I said to him, listen, everyone can be a motivator and turn into a drainer. Or you can be a drainer that turns into a motivator. You're not stuck in your roles. Because I don't want him to be like, if I'm down, it doesn't mean I'm a drainer for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So I had to like go through it. And he like asked me some really interesting questions. He was like, oh, so are you a drainer? Like, oh, okay. So we had this back and forth and it made me really feel like, and then I dropped him off to school. I was like, all right, bye. And I was like, what did I say here?
Yeah.
Like, what am I saying to him? And I mean, I did kind of explain how everyone can be drainers and motivators.
Yeah.
I also said stuff like, when you are a drainer, honey, like I definitely have lots of people in my life that'd be like Fatima's a drainer or has been a drainer at one point. So I definitely acknowledge that the role is there.
Yeah.
I also said to him, like, you've got to be conscious of it. Because that's one thing I have. When I've been in my drainer moments, I've definitely been conscious. I've been like, fuck, anytime I see Juliet, I have just talked about myself, which I do a lot. I have not asked her any questions. I'm very conscious about what I'm putting in. Did she feel happy? Because this is, you know, the last five times I've cried. Like, poor girl doesn't need that energy. I think there are some people that don't do that. They come in, drain, 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 drain. The sink is empty. and then they go. And then the next time you see them, it's the same. And then all of a sudden the relationship that you used to have or the relationship or the interactions that you have become mentally draining. And you don't look forward to it. You see a text messages from them and you're like, ugh, drainer. And I thought of Fatuma, that's not the type of person you want to be. Because at the end of the day, everyone can be a drainer, I can be a drainer. How are we going to put this relationship back on track? Arlo's missing her. It's not the end all. But what am I going to do to shift? I thought, you know, if I have this issue, I'm sure many people have this issue. And I knew that Juliet would have some insights. Because whenever I tell her this stuff, Juliet's always like, Fatuma, you are Judge Judy. She's not a drainer. How have you got
she's not a drainer? I don't know her. I want to preface this. I don't know this person. I don't know, you know. I'm glad you said you went from saying like when friends are draining to then the relationships are draining. I guess I like hesitant to label people.
I knew you were going to say this as well.
Yeah. It's like it's about a dynamic. And in saying that though, that's just because I am someone that tries to practice radical compassion with myself. And like you said, like you've been a drainer. I can be incredibly draining. I think because I'm aware of my own flaws, I'm not interested in like blaming other people for being draining. And also when I have been in dynamics that are energetically draining, I'm conscious of the fact that the other person is only one aspect of it. Actually, the part that of it is that it's draining me is me not expressing like self and needs. Oftentimes when I'll be like drained, not all the time, but a lot of the time I'll be like, what was actually wrong in that interaction? They weren't really being that negative, but they weren't needing like a lot of emotional support, but somehow I still left really drained. And sometimes I'll literally, it will be something simple. Like I'm like, Juliet, I think you were just bored. And I think what happens is you get into some relation, like some dynamics sometimes, you just start feeling I can't actually voice what I'm feeling right now because of whatever reason it is. And it might be that the other person is like really sensitive and they're not going to be at, like if you say I'm really bored right now, they're going to take it personally.
Yeah.
Obviously sometimes people are like whatever is happening, it's not just boredom, but there's just been times recently where I've been like, oh, it's because I actually was just like understimulated and it was making me hugely annoyed by whatever someone else was going on.
But I'm not just talking about that. I'm not talking about a one interaction. I am talking about
a
friendship of where you go there and you're just like, how are you? And it's negative and it's negative and it's always negative. There's always something negative about it. And I think that what I'm trying to say is that like, it's not that they're a bad person or like you always have to be upbeat. It's just the relationship that actually like you're putting out suggestions. They don't really want to hear it.
Yeah.
Like they're in a funk and the relationship then becomes stalemate and becomes funky.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden when you're around them, you go in all great and then you leave like, you want to go to bed for 100 years or you need to like think about like, you're like, do I have enough iron in my tablets? Because I always think that like, you know, some of the friendship breakups that have kind of happened, I've been reflecting why. And often has because the relationship has changed.
Yeah.
And it's gone from a very positive. And I'm not trying to say that we always have to be tea leaders. I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to say where the relationship just then becomes slowly and slowly emotionally more taxing. Each and every time. The person's not in deep depression. It's just that their vibe, they're going through like a negative vibe. And some of their energy rubs off on you and all of a sudden you turn into a bit more pessimistic. And the more you hang out with them, you're starting to feel a little bit more grumpy, a little bit more cynical. And you're like, why?
It's not her that's draining you. It's that you don't like that you also possess those qualities. That's what it sounds like.
No, I definitely don't.
You're like, you leave and I'm more pessimistic about the world.
No, though. I leave and I go, oh God, I need to light.
Like a sage stick.
A sage stick to get myself out of that funk. No, yeah. I don't want to live my life like that.
I'm not saying you want to. I'm saying that we all, like we all possess light and shadow of our emotional spectrums.
No, I'm not 100%. I'm not talking about that. Because like, let's talk about the opposite. The people that really kind of like, give you a dopamine hit, yeah? So I've got like 5 friends in my life that like if I'm going through a bit of a want moment, they know that I do this as well because I have like said, I've been like, you are a queen. Anytime I'm around you, I feel like I could rule the world. I could rule the world after a session. Whenever I just contact you out of the blue, it's because I need some of that. So it's like 5 people, they know who they are. I just like text them. I'm like, hey girl, let's have a drink. I go there purely like a vampire to get that yeah. energy. And I feel like they're not even having to perform. Like, that's just who they are.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
like always really positive. They don't really see negative. They're like you. They don't put labels on people. I'll give them like a situation and they'll be like, no. But I think maybe see it from this point of view. They're like kicking goals. They do amazing things in the world. I go there. Like, I don't have jealousy. I'm not a jealous person. And I definitely don't have like, I'm not a type of, I don't have FOMO, any of that. So when I go to these women that are like amazing in my eyes, I go there and I'm like, yes.
You're like, rub off
yes,
on me.
Yes, rub off on me. I need that. I recently been hanging out with some new girlfriends that are like that. And I literally am like, oh my God, blah, 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 together. I left that dinner. I think I could have, I was like, maybe I should start karate. Like, they were like, let's do a drawing course next week. I was like, yes, what have I been doing with my life? And these women are busy. One of them's a mum. It's just that second, that energy level, that switch. And how do you kind of like change up that kind of dynamic in friends? Because I do think that some of it, when, especially when I was talking about this year going, oh my God, last year some of my friendships have gone to the wayside, is because those relationships that once were very nurturing, once were very inspiring, just became draining. Dinners were hard to get through. Like, in my mind, I was like thinking of other things. I was like putting lists together as the person was talking because I was so drained. And then I thought as we grow older, like less things get complicated. Like in your 20s, you're draining about the girl that got too drunk or your situation that happened with the guy, blah, 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 blah. And then you kind of move in. And then you get into your 30s and then you kind of go, oh, okay, the draining becomes about your work or whatever. And then you get a bit older. Now we're at like, you know, I just turned 40 this year, but like, and I realize I'm like, oh my God, we have been talking about the same draining issues for 10 solid years and not one thing really feels different. And maybe I've just outgrown that drain. And that's the thing. And then I've also met lots of other people who I've been in this chapter with, or maybe it's been 5 years or 10 years and I've seen them evolve. And I'm like, it's actually not normal to be in a constant state of just like poor me.
Yeah.
And that's what it has been. And originally I was like, oh, is the relationship broken? Like,
yeah.
The reason why her and I are not good friends anymore. Is it because, like, I was trying to work it out. Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it this? And I just was like, for a good solid 10 years, and I think this girl's amazing. She's got a great job, all that kind of stuff. Is it because I'm a meanie? Is it because I'm a Judge Judy? And I, like, literally thought, oh, you know, what is it? Like, what is it that I now, like, hang out with her and I'm literally, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, so, I got to do the dishes tomorrow. And we're talking about literally conversations that I've had for solid 10 years. In that 10 years, can I say, any advice that I've given, womp, womp, not taken. Any of the suggestions I've made, womp, womp, not valid. And so I actually was like, I'm drained because I have literally, as a good friend, given you all the resources that I think that I can have, all of the suggestions, and you have not made half attempts. And I now, after 20 years of this, I can't. No more. No. I don't need her to be a motivator. I'm drained. I'm literally drained.
This is what I'm talking about, though, because you were saying, like, I've given her all these suggestions. I've given her these advice and she hasn't taken it. And, like, I'm not trying to be cruel here, but that's, like, there's, like, a lot of ego in that because, so as a teacher, I can go up to, so for context, if people have forgotten, I'm an artist and I'm also teach at university and also a community arts center of people living with deafness or disability. And so as a teacher, if I go up to someone and they are failing to kind of complete a task in the way that is going to get them the achieved result, they're not learning if I just go in, put my hands in and are like, this is how you do it kind of thing, right? That's my ego. That's me coming in going like, oh, we don't have enough time in the day for you to be this slow or something and like, this is how you do it, right? The thing is, that person doesn't learn anything. When someone is, they're like in a dark hole, they're in a drain, these fixer moments will get triggered. This isn't necessarily about her. This is about you've been sitting there for who knows, maybe years going, I'm giving her all these advice and she's not listening, so she hasn't changed. You also didn't change in that time. If you're speaking to someone who's deaf, talking to them louder isn't going to make them hear you. Oh, you need to communicate in the way that they're going to understand you.
Oh, no.
So if you're in a situation and it feels like somebody's not hearing you or hearing what you're, maybe think, oh, maybe I'm not listening to them. And so it could be this thing where our friends are sitting there and they're ranting about the same problem for so many years. And we start going, I've heard this, I've heard this, I've heard this. It's like, no, maybe you never heard it actually. And you're trying to rush it to some sort of solution because that's the solution you see for you, but they're a different person. It's like, you know, when you're a child and you listen to the same song a million times, you think you know that song, and then you'll listen to it in when you're an adult and you go, whoa, I never listened to the words like this. I can really hear this song now.
Oh my God, the other day someone told me that, you know, the whole time GD was saying, open sesame.
What did you think it says?
No, it says open sesame.
Oh, open sesame. Yeah.
I thought it was like open sesame.
Yeah.
Like a sesame seed.
Yeah.
And I told my husband yesterday, and he goes, where? We need to get your ears checked. That's an example.
Yeah. So, and the other thing with the whole, like, I've looked back on the whole relationship and they've always been this way. In reality, like, we can either look back on circumstances with rose-colored glasses or turd-colored glasses.
Yeah.
And, like, depending on, you know, the mood, I guess. Like a friend of mine, when we were about 25, had moved to Europe. Her work wasn't sponsoring her and she was back in Australia and she was getting really frustrated. And she was like complaining a lot about not being able to get a visa. And I was sympathetic for the first little while because I was like, yeah, that really sucks. But this was also 2015, 2016, 2014 era. I can't remember what year, but there was a huge migrant crisis going on where people, like every day on the news, people were dying trying to get to Europe because they were fleeing persecution or like really intense situations. And she was making out like her life was going to end if she had to come back to Australia. And I just got like, it was like 3 weeks and I was like, I had a moment where I was just like, babe, I can't do it anymore. Like, I'm really sorry that like things are not working out the way you wanted them to. Your life is not going to end if you end up back here and like in a very safe, comfortable position. Like, because it was becoming this loop. And the thing is, she was like, oh my God, you're right. I think particularly with friends when we've known each other a long time, we activate our like inner children, our inner teenagers. We can be really immature. Like that's why it's so fun when you're with someone that you've known for a long time. You can giggle and you can be a little bit silly and not be an adult. We like take it for granted when it's like the fun, happy, giggle, giggle, silly times. But the other part of that is we can also be really immature and act like a little bratty child sometimes.
Yes.
And if we don't hold each other accountable, then it does create really shitty cycles because you could come to an interaction and you're arriving there as Fatuma who's 40, who's like, let's blah, blah, blah. And this other person might be showing up as like their wounded 14-year-old because they've been going to work all week trying to be the adult. And now they want to hang out with you and be a bit like, nah, moody, the world sucks. Do you know what I mean? And if we don't just go like, hey, nah, you know, like maybe not even not today. It's like you can work it out because sometimes somebody really might be like, okay, you're like, there is a darkness going on and like, what has triggered this? But it's like, I think a lot of the time also it's like, because I had a friend who every time I left her, I felt really drained. Mm. And I also was the one that was like, I'm the one crying. I'm the one saying all the things, right? And I would leave and I'll be like, oh my God, I didn't want to talk about these things.
Yeah.
I didn't want, but she also was someone that like would pull certain things out of you, I suppose. And, or she'd interrogate in certain ways. And we've known each other a long time. So I'd be like, all right, well, this is what's going on and blah, 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 blah. And I'll show you all the darkness of me, right? But then afterwards, it's like, oh, well, cool. I've left when I'm going to see you in 3 months. There's no, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would hate it. But she probably left being like, oh, Juliet, like,
again,
she's such a drainer. But I'm like, I was also drained by you. So it was more of a dynamic. We probably needed to have a frank conversation and be like, man, let's put a cap on
this. Well, this is what I reckon it is. Because I've had a week to think about it, guys.
Mm.
I was talking to my husband about it. I was talking to Ryan about it. And he was like, well, honey, maybe you're the drainer because you haven't heard from her. She ain't calling you. Mm. So it's not like... He's like, so maybe she's relieved.
Yeah.
Like maybe it was the thing that she came to you, like exactly what you're saying. Wah, wah, and she was like, duh, 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 and I was like, wah, 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 wah.
Just babies wowing at each other. We're just being babies wowing at each other.
And then she's probably like, I've said 6 things, Fatima's not listening, which I admit was like, well, I'm going to do the dishes. Because in my head, I'm like, here's the same conversation. There's no point in me saying anything because like, she ain't going to listen anyway. And literally, she's probably saying some really meaningful, deep things. And I'm literally not listening anymore because I'm like, wow, all I'm hearing is like that commercial the other day, like, blah, 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 blah. She's like, that bitch is awful. I hang out with her. She doesn't even listen to me. I'm saying this stuff. And maybe it's true. Maybe like the relationship, because in my head, listen, I really love this person.
Yeah.
And I've loved them for a long time. So as much as I sit here and it's like sounds really mean and a little bit bitchy and a little bit petty, it's just out of frustration. Because when the relationship did implode, it did take, I was like,
Devastated.
I was like internally and outwardly devastated. And I've never really been broken up with. So when I break up with, like, I mean, I have. I had a boyfriend that left me, but it was a mutual kind of like situation. And then he called me a couple of weeks later. So like, my ego was back where this is like, bye. Like I haven't really heard from her for like about 6 months. So like, it's probably more devastating. And also we went out for a lot, like his was only a couple of years. Yeah. This is like years and years and years and years of friendship. I guess the only part that like, and I've thought about it, cause I'm like, oh, what, why am I like, if I really want this fixed, I could just fix it. I guess, and this is the reason why I was like, I'm going to come to Juliet, I'm going to come to the audience with this, is what? How do you get it back on track? Because the thing about it is this, I was drained from the relationship. It was a little bit at the end, like a bit of a, it took all of my energy to want to like hang out. I need to understand how to get it back. And like knowing and spending a lot of time, understanding that because I've now acknowledged, but that's the way she communicates. Yeah. And there's a part of me that like operated in friendships for so long in like negative, like kind of high school way. Like, oh my God, of course there's always going to be a little bit of a bitchy element. Turns out like,
it
now
doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, and I've hung out with lots of other people in the last like 5 to 7 years who we never bitch about anybody else. We kind of are just like, have conversations about ourselves. Mm. We talk about motivation. I was saying I've just hung out with some new girlfriends who are like, I'm not trying to compare old to new, but like every single time we're together, all we're talking about is improvement. One of the girls, her fifth, she has a mind, is starting like adult ballet classes. And she was like, oh my God, this is how I'm moving. And the only down things and negative things she said was like, I can't find like little ballet flats for my color. What's going on?
Yeah.
Like everything is so motivating. Like, what are you doing to do this? How are you bettering yourself? And I'm like, wow. For a long time with some of my old friends, all we did was a little bit of a bitch and a bit of a chin wag. And I was probably one of the main contributors, So I'm not trying to say like, oh my God, I was in this toxic kind of vibe. But I think in my early 20s, that it was a vibe that was a little bit negative. And for a while, I just thought that's what friendships were.
Yeah.
Like a little bit toxic, a little bit negative. So there's always someone a bit bad in the group. And then now I've totally grown out of it. There does not need to be that at all. And I'm in this new space. How do I catch up? How do the old and the new catch up to mirror? And I have to say, they will probably, if they were listening to this, they'd be like, I'm pretty sure you were the one bringing all the
mess. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, it's easy to like, when they're not in the room to be like,
oh, no, I take full acknowledge.
It's a dynamic. No.
It was definitely a dynamic. Yeah. And I definitely, and when I was lost, like say I was a bit bored or like, was it like the relationship wasn't really where I would, like I'd be having other relationships with other people. I like the way to connect with them would be to be a bit negative.
Yes.
I'd go in, I'd be like, so have you heard blah, 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 blah? Or did you see the post blah, blah? Like that was how I operated in that group.
And you're
so
not alone.
I probably
lots
did bring the
that.
Mess a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I was probably the mood, like the drainer or the toxic, like I probably was like that person. I know that I am was a key contributor.
Yeah.
Key. If not, maybe sometimes was the queen hat in that sentiment and that dialogue. B, like know that that was my operatus, is that how to say it? Operatus min.
My, I know what you're trying to say, but
like,
I can't.
Whenever I wanted to get into the group, I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. And I know that. So, like, I'm not trying to say I'm better or blah, 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 blah. I just want to know, like, how now that, like, I don't want to be like that, how do I reset? How do I, like, kind of still have those relationships with those people, but are conscious of, like, okay, this needs to
because you mentioned, how do I get back to this relationship? Because I love this person. I'm going to say you personally don't want to be back.
Yeah, I probably don't.
That's the thing. It's not even, and that's not to say you can't have a relationship with this person, but you and this person, because I feel this way with my ex-best friends. I'm like, I don't want us to go back anywhere.
No.
I want us to be somewhere else. Yeah. That's why we had fights in the first place. I think of relationships as figure eights. Sometimes you're really far apart and sometimes you're at the middle.
Oh,
and I'm like, I'll meet
that.
You again in the, you know, future. Yeah. Those things can come back to each other, I guess. And I'm okay with that. And I recognize, like, I'm like, I actually love the idea of building something new, but you have to approach it with newness. You can't be like, oh, I'm just waiting for them to reach out. It has to be something where it's like,
okay, Oprah, come through. Oh, sorry. No. I'm about to choke on my iron tablet that I've been loving. No, you're 100% right. You are 100% right. It's true. I don't want that one. I don't want that relationship back. I want something really new and exciting and motivating. And that's true. You're right. I want a new version and where we reminisce about some of the mistakes, reminisce, but get to this new version of who we all are. Because the truth about it is, like, they're new people and I'm not giving them a chance either to, like, show up in their new self, because I have so much baggage from 20 years of, like, me putting them in a box that they're probably not even in.
Yes.
And if I actually listen instead of thinking about what I'm doing for the week, I would also, like, know that, oh, blah, blah, she's actually saying this. Oh, my God. Yeah. And you're right. It's about coming back in our better version. And I, to be honest, I feel like I'm such a better version of who I am.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say it's better, though. What it is, and that's the thing, is because you brought up new people, right? Yeah. What is happening, though, is just, you even just said it, you're not, you weren't being present with those people. Like, and people get like this with their spouses, right? They're like, you get used to it because you're like, oh, this person's been around, they're going to be around. Like, I don't have to pay attention to what they're saying. Like, and the thing is, we're not supposed to be on all the time, right? But I think that's what happens within, like, all relationships that, like all relationships, even if it's a new person, right, you can be unpresent. But a lot of the time when they are someone new, you're excited about them. You want to learn all the things. You don't know them yet.
Yeah.
I mean, with older people that we've known a long time, and people do this, I think, with their parents a lot, where they're just like, oh, I know them. Like, they don't ask them the questions. Yeah. They don't have to care. They're frustrated by them. My dad, when I was in high school, my bus driver and I used to have, like, lots of chats. Anyway, and one day I came home and I was like, oh, blah, blah's back driving the bus. You know, his mum died, so he took some time off. Not only did his mum died in his arms. Wow. And my dad was like, oh, my mum died in my arms. And I was like, oh, really? I didn't know that about you. And he was like, I'll never forgive her. And I didn't probe him at the time. And I just interpreted that as like, oh, my dad didn't like that his mother died in his arms. And then, like, 3 years ago, it came up, like, his mum dying came up. And I said to him, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, you never forgave her because she died in your arms. He was like, I never forgave her because her last words were, I'm sorry. And at the time, I didn't probe again. I went, he was like, oh, why is she apologizing for dying? Like, I'm here for you. Like, go. And then I spoke to him about it recently. He goes, no, I was annoyed because it's like, why is she giving me an apology now? She never apologized to me my whole life. And I was like, oh, my God, like, the layers and layers and layers. Yeah. But I was like, so if when I was like 16, 17, if I'd actually sat down and be like, tell me more about that dad, we may have gotten to that conclusion, you know, whatever.
Sooner.
But instead, it's been the little trickle of information. And I might bring it up again to him recently and be like, oh, no, of course. It wasn't just that. It was also this. That week she had blah, 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 blah. Like,
Julia, can
more.
You get? Can you please get the full one? So
yeah, of course.
Yeah. Report
but
it back to us.
Basically, it's just this thing where I'm like, I think we're not, if people are talking about difficult situations, it can freak us out. Like, and even if it is just a situation where it's like they're angry or, you know, they're upset about something that's going on in their life, like, a lot of us were trained to be like, okay, the thing you want to do is that you want to be happy again. So, like, let's not think about this. But so it's like it can be like a reflex to be like moving on to the next topic of conversation.
But I also think that this is what I'm like, a little puppy. Mm. This is what I've also, like, I get, like, a new little toy comes around and that toy is cuter and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, whoa. oh my God, this is so much better. Oh my God, this is so much good. This is great. And what I don't really think about is, and it's not that I take relationships for granted. I'm going to have to say this because sometimes I sound like this. I have been friends with some of my friends for a very, very long time. One of my dearest girlfriends I met when I'm 11. We love Jenny. Jenny. Like I'm shouting it out. And her and I have been through ups and downs as well. So it hasn't always been like best friends forever kind of vibes. And so I have long, long-term relationships. And I think I met her the first time when I was even like 5 or something. So like we're talking about like me. That's not just like everyone I've known in 2 years.
Yeah.
But what I think I have, I'm definitely acknowledging is that like say the last 5 years, which I've felt the most myself, the last 5 years, I have felt like the woman that I've always wanted to be in the last 5 years. And the people that have been present, all the new people in the 5 years, I've looked at them being like, yes, she's exactly who I am. You know, like, but that's like 5 years in the making. And some of these people
are like 40 years in the making, actually.
I don't know them from their pack. I only seen them in their best selves.
Yeah.
Again, probably the best 5 years. Who knows what they've been doing, like, you know, when they were 28. Who knows the drainers that they used to be?
Yeah.
I'm just seeing these people in, like, I think about it in the last 5 years. 35, you're probably professionally in where you want to be. I'm not saying this is not an assumption for everyone. I'm just saying, like, you probably have the most money that you've ever had. You probably have, like,
you're hitting peaks.
You're hitting peaks. Mm. Your style is probably the best. Like, you know, there's definitely, you've traveled, you've, like, lived out in the world. You're probably showing up at 35 or in your mid to late 30s as the best person that you are. I'm not saying for everyone. I'm just saying for a group of people, right?
Yeah, they've had time to kind of cultivate.
You've had time to who you are. And then I'm meeting you, and you're probably meeting the best version of Fatuma as well. And I'm like, you're not meeting Fatuma throwing up in my friend Tim's, apartment building, red wine. You know, messy Fatuma. They're seeing me in like Fatuma 2024. And she's great. Like, you know, and then I'm looking at these shiny objects saying like, look at all of us. Look at all us cool, like great women with lots of advice and great mothers, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm comparing it to like people that have been there in a probably more significant way.
Yeah.
Less like growing, allowing me to be messy Fatuma, holding my hair when I'm throwing up on their white carpet, and they're still like showing up, and I'm like, I look at these new people. Look how, you know, they're the best. So I also acknowledge that like that is something that I need to, instead of always being like, oh, have I evolved? Oh my God, what am I going to talk to them about? It's like, babes, these are the people that have carried you through these years, and you're all a bit different. Not just you. Don't be so self-indulgent and being stuck in this ego space, is what you were saying before, is really
going.
That's
not just you. I mean, that's all of us.
Oh, 100%. But like having that moment, I'm glad that I had 2 weeks to think about it. Like, you know, if you'd have caught me last week, I was just like, no. Professional drainer.
No, because I also want to, I'm a spiritual girly. So there is also like, there's both like scientists and also like spiritualists who will talk about like energetic frequencies, and that when you are with someone who is like, they're sad or angry or, you know, depressed or like the kind of what some people will call negative emotions, like it energetically does affect like you. Like it's not, so it's not, but the thing is, it's affecting you because, like I said, if you're sitting there being like, I'm telling you all the things to do, it's you making this assumption that, and I do this as well, so I can hear it, is like, we both will talk about like self-improvement and this idea of being better. And I don't think that you can ever really heal past relationships with people until you heal relationship you have with the past versions of yourselves, where you stop thinking of yourself as who you are as better. Mm. And like, it's more that, like you said, you're more aligned with like who you feel you truly are. And it's not that you're more better now. It's just that you are actually finally in a place where you're like comfortable with embracing who you actually are. And I think it's hard for you to be with the other people is because when you're with someone else from your past, and this is the same for me, when I was with people from my past and they would be complaining about certain things or talking about like even people we knew, and it's almost like pulling me into it. Like, well, they said this thing to you, and I'd be like, don't bring me in there. Like, yeah. I'm over here. I've moved on from that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And like, for me at least, realized I'm like, oh, I'm not frustrated with them. I'm frustrated still with like these former parts of myself who were like a messy drunk or who was, you know,
petty.
Rude and petty. Like, I'm like, yeah. I'm not accepting those parts. And it is, that's the thing. It's like, as I age, I'm like, I have to continually remind myself that yeah. those parts of me who were the most messy and rude and yes. like unevolved are just as equal as just as a bunch of part of me as like all of these parts now that like you know I embrace more yeah. right. And like even what I said before, I'm like, oh, I'm trying so hard to pull myself up still out yeah. of the hole that when I'm with you know somebody else who might be like saying the things that I've said when I've been in a depressing episode or like yeah. all the beliefs that I have about the world when I'm in a negative place, I'm like, I don't need to hear them because they're still on repeat somewhere in the back of my mind, and every day I'm doing what I can to not be playing that same old song.
Oh my God.
So it's like, it's when I find at least it's like, yeah, it's about accepting, ultimately about accepting yourself.
Can I say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I just had a bit of a breakthrough moment. I feel like, literally, I say to Julia, this is like the episode that I'm like, ah! That's why I'm like doing it. I'm like, ah. You're 100% right, because I'm just reflecting on a relationship of people that I'm still really good friends with. Mm. And like, it was, I met them in my mid-20s. And I was a bit of a mess. I was just in like lots of phases of my life, like putting things together. I was actually acknowledging some of the old pain in my life and then being really insecure about my work and how I was at work and all that kind of stuff. So, and then also like trying to build my new life. So I was like getting married. Right, so I was in this weird space, and in that, like, we would go out every Friday night and drink way too much, and I would just be a mess. And, you know, whenever I hang out with them as an adult, and obviously, like, through the relationship, we had our highs and lows, and we did it for like 4 years. So it's a long time. You can imagine in those 4 years, if you're getting drunk every single weekend, you're making a lot of messes. After 4 years, they were probably just like, oh, fucking Fatuma. All right. And that was the vibe that I got from them. All right. And then I then went off and started doing all this other stuff, blah, 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 blah. And I don't really like, I mean, I'm not trying to say that I don't get drunk anymore, but like on a whole, and how people view me now is very, very different. But when we're together, they always talk about that Fatuma.
Yeah.
And I know that when I'm around them, I like start to go like, ugh.
Yeah.
I can feel, and so what I end up doing is I drink way more because I'm like irritated by all the conversations that are funny, but they're not funny to me. Yeah. And I can't say, for some reason, I just haven't been able to say these words. Hey guys, listen, I've kind of grown out of that. I would really appreciate if we didn't really always have to go back into that.
Yeah.
Instead, I like try and like be like, show them how good I am now.
Yeah.
And slowly by slowly as the night is kind of good. Remember, we don't see each other very often.
Yeah.
As a group in this kind of there's been times where I'm like, I won't even go to things when I know that they're like, if I know that's going to be the center, because I'm like, I don't want to talk about old Fatuma anymore.
Yeah.
I, like,
and you don't want to become old Fatuma for the sake of like.
It could happen. And because I get so insecure about it. It only has been recently that I've actually said to them, like, actually, this interaction for me doesn't, but I've just acknowledged
Being truthful, you're being
exactly
authentic.
But I haven't probably said the words that I have said, like I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
I probably haven't actually said like, hey, blah blah and blah blah.
Yeah,
listen, I love and adore you guys all, but I actually really like feel like I've outgrown most of it. And I feel like for some reason, whenever we talk about it, it really triggers me and puts me back into that place.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in that place anymore. Like, I feel like I'm a new woman. I've done all this new stuff. Like, can we just kind of like put her in a box and bury her? Not deep, but like put her in like
in
a hungy kind of situation where we can dig her up, but it doesn't have to be every interaction.
Yeah.
But I also probably haven't said to them like, oh, I'm real sorry for being that. Oh, I'm sorry I was a bit insensitive, or I'm sorry I was a bit of a bitch. Like, I probably haven't done the healing that they need.
Yeah.
That's why they kind of bring it up at all time, you know?
Yeah.
And like having this real, like, vulnerable conversation with you instead of me being like, I've come into it so differently, yeah? Like going, oh, this is why blah, 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 blah. It's actually been like, well, this is who I was. And all of it, like even though I'm over that,
yeah,
it's still who I am. And those are the interactions they still had. And like I yeah. can't now invalidate them or pretend they didn't happen because I feel like I should be here now or yeah. you should be viewing me like this.
Yeah.
It's like they probably view both of it. It's probably like a scrambled egg.
Yeah.
They're like, you definitely threw up on my white carpet, girl.
Okay. I do think in friendships, like I said, like we get really, things get habitual. So the story, yeah. same stories get brought up. And I'll say like right before I had blow ups with my friends, we had like someone's birthday and I was sober at this event. Also, it was pretty close to when we come out of lockdown. And to be at like a party where it was 20 people, who most of which were people who I considered best friends, who I'd known for a really long time, and feel really disconnected from everyone there was super isolating. And I felt really uncomfortable. And it was that thing where like the same kind of stories were getting brought up and I could sit there and be like, yeah, well, we haven't seen each other for 2 years. What else do we have to talk about? And like, because I was sober as well, it was a thing where certain friends, there were habits where it's
yeah.
like, oh, they have a habit of kind of picking on me in a certain way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I know that the way they would talk about it is like, oh, but I'm just, you know, just it's just a friendly little making jokes. But well, it doesn't feel like a friendly little making jokes
yeah.
to me when, particularly when I haven't seen you for years. It didn't actually feel that way before. I just had the habit of it.
Yeah.
And we've actually now broken the habit because we've had 2 years where we haven't seen each other.
Yeah.
And now that I'm back here with you, I'm like, why the fuck was I tolerating this?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I mean, I still have a healthy distrust of the world, but now what I've worked out is that like I trust myself enough that I'm like, you know, I'll sort it out.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, I really didn't trust people. And that manifested in a way that I came across to other people as really intimidating. When in reality, I was just like a deeply fearful person who was like guarded. Right. And so when I was in primary school, people used to constantly be like, well, she's so intimidating. And so what I did is like I developed this class clown persona where I would enter rooms and like self-deprecate myself immediately and like make jokes. So it's like nobody can say I'm intimidating when I just came into the room and like made, you know, I was this big ha-ha personality.
Yeah.
Then when I got to high school, literally I was just like overwhelmed at being there and really guarded. But once again, people still interpreted me as really intimidating. And so the way it came across was like, oh, I'm a bitch. Honestly, also because within the queer community at that point, like 2007, that was what you were. It was like you were a sassy, bitchy person.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you would kind of be rude to people. And I think people saw that as like a personality. But I was yeah. like, that wasn't necessarily a personality. That was kind of like a coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And but that becomes habits, right? And then I yeah. made friends with other people who were kind of snarky and kind of
yeah.
bitchy.
Yep,
and
yep,
then as I grew older, I would have friends. And particularly once I started really stopping drinking, like around 21, I started to like cut back on drinking. And I, you know, wasn't like, not to say that when I was drunk, I was always a real bitch, but it's like, you know, everyone's kind of sassy when they're drunk. But it's like, I'd have these friends who would be like, Juliet's like such a bitch, or Juliet does this or whatever. And I started being like, well,
labeled.
Yeah, really labeled. And it became such a thing that it was actually really uncomfortable. It felt really hard for me to, I didn't feel like people were seeing me as vulnerable,
yeah.
basically. When I was also about 21, I had friends get married.
Yeah.
And they got married down the, like, peninsula.
Yeah.
They had had a house down there. So we were like, we'll just, you know, the wedding is on the beach and we'll just, like, work out how to get back to the house. But mind you, it's, like, midnight. There's this beach wedding. Beaches are pitch black at nighttime. And me and a few of my friends hadn't actually organized cars back to the house. And everyone else was like just piling into cars to get lifts back to the house. And me and this other girl, we get left like on the beach basically.
I remember
and
you telling me this story.
I have like a really good sense of direction. So
yeah.
I knew the way back to the house. But, and so I was like, well, let's just walk. And she was really outwardly scared. She was like, oh my God, like she's like shaking. We walked through like a spider web and she's like, oh my God, oh spider web. And she's like putting her hand out to random cars. I was like, let's not hitchhike. I don't want to do that. Like we are drunk and like wearing formal attire.
Yeah.
Like but right next
that
to the,
like
I was like,
every
yeah, I was like,
movie.
We're not hitchhiking. And I was just, I guess I was stoic about it. I was like, hey, I know that you're scared right now, but trust me, I know the way home. Like I paid attention when we were driving here. I know the blocks we're going. And she was like still shaking, just like talking about how scared she was, blah, blah, blah. Now I was also really scared, but because I had become this person that was like really guarded, all of that was inside me.
Yeah.
And then eventually we end up on the road
the groom was driving around looking for us. So he finds us, we get in the car. Now we come home and we enter into the bedroom that we were all going to stay in, like me and my close friends. And she gets into bed with my other friend who had already like abandoned us on the beach. And I go into the bathroom and I hear them while I'm in the bathroom. She's like, oh, man. She was like, oh, it was really scary. And like, it was really cold. And but Juliet knew. Juliet was really brave. And I literally just burst into tears because I was like, oh, my God. I don't want this to be a thing where this person sees me as someone that's brave. And I know that that's like a funny thing. But I was like, I actually just wanted... And I think about it now because I'm like, why didn't I just leave the bathroom and like show them that I was crying and be like, oh my God, no, I was also really scared. Yeah. And like, that was really stressful, but I didn't. Instead, I sat there in that bathroom and I felt really resentful because I was like, oh my God, I've known these people for like 10 years and they like don't see me. It wasn't until years later, I'm like, oh, they couldn't see you because you were fucking hiding from people.
Yeah,
you were
closed.
Like, yeah, the door's closed. You're not saying how you feel. You're concealing things, right? And so I can recognize that now. Yeah. Like, and that's why I'm like painfully bloody, I shouldn't say painfully, but I'm sure I infuriate a lot of people now because I over-communicate now.
Yeah.
Like I'm some, like even my ex the other week, we were having a conversation and I'd said something about how my old therapist would talk about me intellectualizing my emotions. And he was like, yeah, of course you do. Why did you send me a paragraph? Why didn't you just say I'm sad?
I'm so glad we had this episode because I literally, I feel like I started off last week, hot mess, full Australian ochre black girl. I don't know how I turned into that. Traitor. Like literally ready to like kill. Must be the iron, let's say. Had a full week, which is weird because we've been working on this podcast and our emotions for so long. And it's weird that I still feel like I only got to this point right now. Like I literally like realizing that like I'm probably trying to hide, like some of my old friends probably remind me of the person I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I've been in their heads. They know that that's who I am. I'm trying to tell the rest of the world that I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not her anymore. I want her dead, but I know that around so many people that you live your life, make mistakes, they'll always think about you like that. And they probably think about it in a really good positive and there's negative. You know why? Because in life there's positive and negatives.
Yeah.
I think that as I move through this next chapter of my life and I like, you know, bring some of these people or like make amends or whatever the words that are right. And even with the friends that I'm already like friends with, maybe just have different conversations and set different boundaries. And I'm pretty sure with some of them I've been like, oh, you know, like, in the last couple of times, I'm done with that person. It's not that she's still in me.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now, after 5 tequilas, she's back. I don't want to self-proclaim that I'm any different than I am. Like, you know, because they're all inside of who you are.
Yeah.
But I hope that now, and I can see as I move forward, that a communication, when things aren't going right, to actually just have those conversations and weirdly, like, actually allow myself to open up.
Yeah.
You know, like, new relationships are gonna, if I want the course of direction to change in my relationship, it's not about filling my world up with new people.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get to 50, 60, 70.
And they're all going to go.
And I'm going to be having to start the podcast again. I mean, like.
No, but I think
you know what I mean? Like, I need to actually, like, acknowledge that if I want better relationships with people, it's about communications. And it's weird because in a romantic relationship, there's such a center. Like, when things aren't going right, you go to therapy, you go to couples therapy, or your husband will say, like, oh, for 2 months, like, and you will, it's like a willingness to work on a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
And an unwillingness or maybe just taking for granted
the
same amount of work that I put into my marriage is probably the same amount of work. And I haven't had a perfect marriage.
Yeah.
And what we've done is we've gone to a therapist, we've worked on it, you know, are conscious of it. Like there are times where Ryan has said, well, sometimes you just are saying to, you just talk at me. Like, I don't want to hear about your friends. Like, it's like 6 times in a row. And literally he said that to me. I've talked about it twice. The next time I go and tell him something lame, I actually check myself and I'm like, he does not want to hear about it. Who am I going to call?
Yeah. My thing though, because I know that you've got meetings to go to, but I will just finish it with there's a thing in – this is actually a book that's about community arts practices, right? But it's called The Relationship is the Project. And it was really interesting because when I first read it, nothing had ever spoken, I guess, to how I actually think about relationships.
Yeah.
It's a group project coming together, right?
Yeah.
And I think the reason why certain people find it easier with, I guess, romantic relationships is because we have cultural and political and legal structures in place for like a marriage is you are coming into a project.
Yeah.
And for some people who have kids, it's like, right, the project is to raise this kid together, to pay off this mortgage, right? With friends, obviously, we don't have the like cultural structure in place anymore for that. I think in the past, like village culture, obviously,
and
like
those types,
that it was a way. But I don't think we have that as much in contemporary society. And we've become so transactional that there are a lot of people that just think that like,
blah, blah's just going to be there forever.
Blah, blah's going to be there forever. Or like, I'll meet, there are other people. Or, you know, the other thing is, like, it is harder to, I shouldn't say harder, but, like, we literally, like, there are couples counsellors. Like, there's not really, like, a counsellor that's like, I'm your friendship group counsellor, right? And I will say, I think you're on the right track with talking to your old friends about being like, hey, that's who I was. I don't want to be, like, I'm here now and, like...
Or I want a new friendship with you.
Yeah.
I want to move on to this new relationship with you.
Yeah.
Back to what you were saying about the figure eight. Yeah. Because one of the hardest things is about leaving your, like... And the funniest part about this story is this. Back to romantic relationships, I haven't had a lot, but I have managed to be friends with both of them.
Yeah.
I'm currently married to
one. You are married to.
But, like, that... hasn't hurt me as much as like not being friends with some of the people I'm friends with, you know? And so like if I had put as much effort into like maintaining the relationship that I have with my ex-boyfriend, which I literally had to work on because he was like, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And I'm like, no, we must be friends.
You and I are too similar.
You and I, you know, I love your parents. We must be friends. And I've literally like him and I, like I've cultivated, worked on it, understood boundaries, all that, put in as much work maintaining that relationship. Not sure why. I mean, I love him very much. It's very like, you know, there's a reason why. But like, if I put in that amount of energy into some of my friendship relationships, we wouldn't have the podcast. But I mean, like, I'm very conscious of it. And so I'm really glad. I think this is probably my favorite episode that we've done, that like we did this, because it shows how much more work that I have to do. You know what I mean?
Forever.
It also like shows about like where I am mentally, and there's so much growth, which is exciting because it's like, fuck, if you spoken to me 2 weeks ago, I was like,
you were like,
she's lucky to have me as a friend. In my Aussie accent. She's lucky to have me. Oh, I'm a great friend. What is she talking about? She doesn't like me. Fuck her.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh my God, Fatima, you're doing such a disservice. Yeah. Like, you know, to the relationships, to who you are.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so much more growth here. And the people that you really want are the people that kind of build you up. That's the actual truth.
Yeah.
You know, my new friends are very good though. Do you really like them? No. Just kidding. Well, we want to thank you guys again for listening to us. Well, do you know who the author of that book is?
The one that I just talked about. I actually do not, but like, it's literally a book about community art practices. Oh. So it's like it's interesting because it's like about. A lot of the time with art making, it's like, I'm painting this painting. This is the object that I'm making, or I'm putting on this event, and that's the project. But it's like, no. Art is about community building, basically. Anyway, and so is life. Art is life. Life is art.
Thank you so much for listening. We adore you all. And yes, hopefully this gives you some skills. And now everybody knows still a mess.
Let your friends grow. Be curious about who they are now.
Follow us at the Disappointing Friend Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. DM us a voice recording with all your friendship, tribulations and triumphs, or just thoughts, or email us at thedisappointingfriendpodcast@gmail.com. We're obviously not psychiatrists or psychologists or therapists in any capacity, but we have years and years and years of experience disappointing friends and being disappointed by friends. Until next time, the disappointing friend has left the chat.
I know that when friends have done things, my brain is like, oh, she's not going to reply to you? Why don't you just call her right now? You should just go to her house. Go to her house and knock on the door. She's going to try and avoid you. Avoid my fist knocking on your door.